Hello, friends, loves, people who just happened across this podcast. You are listening to What Would Tracy Sue Do? Where we ask better questions about things that matter. Whoo, today I'm going to take you on a journey through my own sort of reawakening process where I am taking my life and my energy to a new level and a new understanding of my patterns. Patterns that I repeat over and over and over in relationships and how things just unfold. You make one declaration and things unfold until one day, a few months later, you look around and you see all the chaos in all of your relationships. And you have to get really, really, really brave and courageous enough to get honest about what you're doing, what you're allowing, how you're interacting with people. And it takes so much courage, my friends. It takes so much courage. Now, I started this process because I found myself in a pretty shitty place, to be honest, like a real shitty place. I had hyperthyroidism, which if you don't know what that does to a person, it's a foggy brain. You can't think. I could sleep 24 hours a day, and I'm not even joking about that. I would lay down. I would say, okay, I'm just going to sleep until I'm not tired anymore. And I would sleep the whole way through an entire day and wake up the next morning. The only time I would get up would be if I had to pee really bad. So I had these health issues, but I also had relationship issues where I was not receiving what I wanted out of those relationships. And I would find myself in similar positions repeatedly. Now, when that happens to you, that means you're running a pattern, right? You have a pattern of how to do a relationship and you're repeating it over and over and over in ways that you can't even see clearly because they're your pattern, right? It's your pattern. It's how you do it. If you knew another way, you would most likely do that other way. And financially, right? Oh my gosh, the horrors of my financial situation in the last couple of years have been, oh my gosh, being poor is about the most humiliating, humbling process that I have ever done. And so I found myself recovering from addiction again. I had had a fuck it year where I was like, fuck it, nothing's working. So I'm just going to get drunk, smoke cigarettes, and dive into another relationship with an alcoholic. And invest all of my time and energy in that. And I am going to ignore things like the fact that my website's broken and I have hired this company that's not doing their job. And I don't dare, like, really confront the issue and fire them. Just things like that, where I was like being pestered by truths that I don't want to see because I have this very, very, very powerful allergic reaction to confrontation and boundary setting that, you know, my conditioning supports. And I have this method that I do at the end of every year in November around Thanksgiving time. And it's called, the 100 things, right? So 100 things of 2019, 100 things of 2018. And I have these going back to, I don't know, somewhere around maybe 2007, 2008. And I originally started this because my husband at the time, he was not happy with how I was spending my time and was not acknowledging the accomplishments I had made. And I wanted that acknowledgement and I wanted him to lay off, and stop, defining what I got to do with my life. So I sat down and I wrote 100 things that I had done that year. And I had done so much that year. I had accomplished so many things that I never even dreamed possible. I had launched a business and achieved some success with that. I just wrote down, like, when you do this, you do little things and you do emotional things and you do things that you've done with your time. And you ask different questions, not just, am I making more money? Sometimes we look at our year and we say, okay, well, did I accomplish these professional goals? Did I get a raise? Did I increase my income? But this process that I do, 100 things, has better questions, right? So the questions involve, what relationships did I grow? What experience did I have? Did I meet new people? Did I have moments of joy? Did I, what really did I spend my time doing? So I looked at, in November 2018, I looked at the last 18 months to 2 years while making this list in this practice, this spiritual practice, which is essentially taking a proper accounting of how I spend my time and my money and my energy. And I realized that I had spent all of my time helping other people. I had spent all of my time jumping in to save other people from their own bad choices. I had spent all of my time literally and figuratively doing hard labor, cleaning up other people's messes. I had spent all of my time doing beautiful things also. Beautiful things with other people and for other people. Things that, of course, I would want to choose again. But also things that were sucking my energy and had no return on investment, right? So I had these beliefs and I was running a pattern where I noticed I was lying to myself about other people and their intentions and what they truly would say to me or how they would use up my energy without filling the well back up. And I had to face this fact that I was lying to myself and to other people so that I could maintain relationships with people that I love based on boundaries that were devastating and unhealthy for me. I also had seen that I was being extremely loyal to people who had actually screwed me over. And I was lying and saying, oh, well, they didn't mean it. Or they aren't responsible for their behavior. Or I was responsible for their choices because I didn't lay a clear boundary. Or because I didn't, or I left a loophole in my lease, right? So things like my tenants who moved a hot tub, a deep freeze, and a refrigerator in, and the lease said that I pay all utilities, that their rent includes all utilities. Well, that's just blatantly taking advantage of that. And it took me, oh my gosh, it took me so many months before I finally was like, hey, this is not in alignment with the conditions of our lease. This did not, like, I hadn't ever thought that I needed to put, don't buy a hot tub and a deep freeze and stick it in the garage without, a deep freeze and stick it in the garage without talking to me, or buy the hot tub and then tell me that you're going to install one, right? And it wasn't until my electric bill became so out of control that I finally was like, hey, dudes, you're going to pay half the electric bill. And they were using more than half of the electricity. So even that boundary, I was being loyal to them because I wanted to avoid confrontation. I mean, when you live with people, you have a vested interest in not causing trouble, right? I realized that I was being loyal to my ex-husband, my children's father, in ways that were lying, right? About his intentions, about his generosity and goodness. And I was doing it, of course, because I have to protect that relationship. I have a vested interest in harmony and a lack of conflict there. But when you participate in this kind of behavior and you allow people to steal money from you and you allow people to suck up all of your time and all of your energy without compensation or reciprocity. And by reciprocity, I mean, like, if you're filling someone else's cup with energy, the only way a relationship can be sustainable if that goes in both directions, right? Like, a relationship needs to be going in both directions for a relationship to be sustainable. Otherwise, one person just burns themselves out and becomes absolutely depleted. And this is where I found myself in so many business and personal relationships, where I was lying about people's intentions. I was pretending or believing that other people didn't want to screw me over. They were just really bad at communication, or it was my fault because I left a loophole in the relationship or the lease. It takes a lot of energy to confront people. It takes a lot of energy to say, this isn't okay with me, and I'm going to do what I need to do to pursue a correction of this action. Noticing this pattern in myself, I made some declarations. And let me share some of those with you. I will not lie to myself or others about people's outcome, the intentions, and make excuses for them and take responsibility for their behavior and project good intentions onto them. Whew. Holy moly. Holy moly. I will not allow people to infringe on my boundaries. I will guard and defend all of my family's assets, including, and then I list a whole bunch of things. I also made this statement. My people, including my man and friends, allow and encourage growth and growth experiments with non-judgmental presence and not considering personal paths a violation of the relationship. This declaration was made on December 15th, 2018, and what resulted from that was shocking, to say the least. Shocking, to say the least. And painful, actually, a cause for great grief in my life. Because the people who reacted to, and I didn't tell anyone this. I just wrote it down in my journal, right? I just wrote it in my journal as a declaration for how I was going to live. I did not inform anyone, hey, you don't get to show up in my life with a non-judgmental presence. I wrote it in my journal, and what followed was the exposure of friends' vicious judgment. My family's judgment. Judgment and criticism, harsh. Complete overreactions to the tiniest, not even conflict, like just no conflict. And suddenly I'm receiving all of this just harsh, critical, eye-opening and heartbreaking truth from people coming out of their mouths directed at me. shocking because, you know, when I wrote this down, what I was thinking of is, hey, my marriage, you know, I want to have another relationship and I don't want my growth to be considered a violation of the relationship. I did not know that this was going to extend into so many other relationships that I had considered close relationships that I mean, for me, it was just completely shocking and out of the blue that deciding not to lie about people's intentions and then directly having them state their intentions, right? So I believe in law of attraction. And if I say I'm not going to lie, that means people are going to expose their truths. If I say that I'm not going to make excuses for people and justify their behavior and really face what they truly think and believe and really face how they treat me, that is going to lead to heartbreak and chaos. If I declare that the people in my life are going to be non-judgmental presences and not consider my personal growth or path a violation of the relationship, this means that everyone who has projected any kind of vision about who I am onto me that is not accurate will expose themselves. And then I, in order to follow my own new boundary that I hold myself to, have to face that. And this is why people don't move forward. Because what happens is you get a little pushback. One person does it and you say, oh my God, this was a terrible thing to do to myself. And you run back. You run back to where you didn't know that. We tell ourselves lies about relationships and other people and their intentions and their behavior. And we do it for a very good reason. We do it because we want to believe that people have the best intentions for our lives. We want to believe that people tell us kindly and lovingly the truth about whatever there is that they have as a truth, and not to secretly pretend their approval or their loyalties so that we can continue the relationship to avoid conflict, right? So when I wrote this down, I was feeling pretty dang good about my relationships. I was feeling pretty good about my friendships. The areas in my life that I knew needed change were financially and in my business, where I had not enforced contracts, where I had not pursued justice, in situations where money was stolen from me, where I had not stood up for myself because that would create conflict, where I had put my head in the ground like an ostrich who doesn't want to see the danger coming, right? Who doesn't want to acknowledge that how they're spending their time and energy and money protecting other people and being loyal to the wrong people instead of being loyal to the only people I really should be loyal to first. To thy own self be true. By the end of January or February, things had drastically changed. I mean, drastically changed in my relationships. Because once you commit to something like that, there's no going back. I mean, believe me, I'd have gone back easily gone back. But what I found is that we're moving into such a new energy and a new paradigm and a new way of being that the conflict cannot be ignored. One of the ways that I noticed this was that I have allowed bigotry and misogyny to be a let's agree to disagree situation, and to see that caged and posed as a religious belief. And that's just a lie, right? That's just a lie. It's not a religious belief. That's just people blaming bigotry and misogyny on God. And God has nothing to do with that. But to stand up and say that and to say, hey, this has direct negative consequences for my everyday life, was not met with applause. Not met with applause by friends who still have an investment in lying about the behavior of men or institutions or culture. And what I had to observe in myself is, how did I create this? Because of course I create my own situations, my own realities. I create and enforce or not my own boundaries. I create my own values. I create my response to bad behavior, right? So I had to look at my life real hard, and I'm still having to look. If only this were a past tense situation, I would feel probably more comfortable sharing it. And what I noticed is that I have a deep, deep, deep sense of loyalty. And this has extended to people who do not deserve it. And I have put people who have betrayed my trust, stolen things, sucked up my energy and time, being loyal to the wrong people, and you know who I've been disloyal to? Myself and my children and our financial well-being and our energy and our emotional sovereignty. Now I sat my children down and I said, okay, here's the pattern that I have shown you as a good pattern, right? That I will give my shirt off my back to other people, that I will expend tremendous amounts of energy cleaning up people's messes, that I will allow people to infringe on my boundaries and our boundaries as a family, and call that generosity and love and kindness, even where not appropriate. And you know what? My kids had no problem identifying where this was taking place. And they did believe that it was disloyal, that we were wasting our resources where we should not have been. And by wasting, I don't mean that the other people don't deserve resources. I mean that if I spend all of my resources on other people, there's nothing left for us as a family unit. Like, I literally have taken the last $20 that we have that should have been spent on our needs and handed it to someone else because they said they needed it. And because I can't bear to see people in my life go without. The expectation, of course, being that this is a mutual sacrifice. That what I put out comes back to me. But you know what? if it comes back to me and I give it all away, this does not serve or benefit me and my children and my family and this household. I had the mistaken belief that I have unlimited amounts of energy. Unlimited amounts of energy and unlimited amounts of resources and unlimited amounts of like just physical energy and spiritual and emotional energy. And I have had to face in the last 2 years that I don't, that there is a limit to what I can do before I burn out. And when I say burn out, I do not mean I need an extra nap. I mean, I need to sleep 24 hours a day because my health has suffered, because my thyroid is giving out because of expending all of my energy and not making sure that my cup is refilled. And I don't mean my cup as in, you know, take an afternoon to myself and read a novel in the bathtub. I mean my overall physical health, my overall spiritual and emotional health. See, I have this spiritual gift curse. It's a spiritual gift that has played itself out in my life as a curse because of inappropriate boundaries and misplaced loyalty and lying to myself about other people's intentions, right? And what I mean partly by that is whether or not they really did even think about how it would affect me. Whether or not they really do mean to be harsh and mean, like the meanness has been shocking. If I do that, there are consequences to me. If I continue this pattern, the cost has been too great. Because the bottom line is people in their 30s and 40s have had enough time to figure out and grow and change their behavior, their choices that they make. And I have swooped in like little Oprah and felt that I was teaching people to fish instead of giving them a fish. But if people don't want to learn how to fish, they continue to cast a line without bait, or to forget to bring the fishing rod, or to eat all the fish themselves and not share the fish so that there's sustenance and nourishment for both. And this spiritual gift gives me these, I call them downloads. They're channeled experiences in which I can clearly see the path forward for other people. I can clearly see what they're doing spiritually and energetically. I can clearly see. Basically, I am open enough, right? I am open enough to receive downloads from God, from the universe, for other people, right? Especially if those people are refusing to listen to God talking directly to them. You know, if those people are just closed off to their own inner voice and God's inner voice, I have made myself open and available to deliver these messages and to process the energy that comes with those messages. And I have had people in my life become dependent on this. Growing into entitlement for this. Tapping into my maternal instincts and my spiritual openness and my ability to and willingness to process messages from God. Because it serves them. Which, okay. But the problem is that when I deliver the information or the direction or the message or the encouragement or the path forward, it is perceived as easy and taking very little effort on my part. That is inaccurate. It is not true. That is a lie on my part and theirs, because it takes up so much energy. And these messages don't just go away, especially if I love someone or somehow feel responsible for them. They don't just go away. They just consume my energy and my thoughts. They consume until the energy is delivered. Now, if my energy is consumed with the problems of other people who are making bad choices, just other people, period, regardless of what they do with the energy, which also just infuriates me because I haven't named it fury until now. Because these people often attribute this to other sources. In other words, the amount of energy and effort this takes for me is unacknowledged. And they literally pay other people to tell them what I've just told them. Because I feel that this gift should be given freely. Now, I have tried to charge for this gift in life coaching, but not enough because if you're doing this for other people and you're not charging enough money to live, again, totally unsustainable. That was my word for the year 2019 because I had realized that what I was doing was completely unsustainable. And my life has to be sustainable because if it doesn't, the HOA gets mad that I'm late on my HOA bill. It has to be a correct exchange of energy, or else it costs me too much. And I have struggled to create boundaries around this. Boy, have I struggled. Because I will find myself consumed with another person's energy, feeling their feelings, right? There's a difference between empathetic compassion and empath. An empath literally feels someone else's feelings, and it can become very confusing to sort out what feelings are mine and what feelings for someone else. So I will find myself trying to process and heal feelings that are not mine. In fact, often this happens.
It cost me so much that I had to quit doing the life coaching for a period of time so that I can create the proper boundaries so that this is not harmful to me. So what looks like I'm just delivering, I have been processing, cleaning, doing my research, holding the vision for months, years. And it costs me something. Energy that I use for other people, I don't have available for myself. That includes spiritual energy, emotional energy, ability to work and make money and focus on my own freaking problems, my own situation and bettering that. And there isn't a bottomless amount of energy for me. There are 24 hours a day. There is a physical body in which I have to live and function in the world. There is a tangible physical house that I have to support. I have a family who has gone without their needs being met because I have allowed people to cross and violate boundaries that I have been unwilling to enforce because I did not want to create conflict because I wanted to maintain the relationship. And when you begin to say no to that, people have a fierce reaction, like an unreasonable and extreme reaction. But hear me when I say this, people, there is no way to change the pattern if you're unwilling to go through the chaos and pain and grief and sorrow and fear and loneliness and self-doubt in all areas of your life. You can say, oh, I'm going to do this in my business, but it will go to all areas where that pattern exists. And because it is your pattern, it will affect every area of your life. You will think, oh, this will only affect my business relationships, but it won't. It will affect every relationship. Every single relationship will respond in some way, positively or negatively. But there will be a response. There will be a change because it is a pattern within you. And often you are driven to making these changes in your patterns. You're driven to it because there's no other choice. It has become so destructive to your life and your well-being that maintaining the pattern costs you more than shifting the pattern. Think about that for a second. You will only change a pattern in your life if you have been driven to that change by destruction. And then when you change that pattern in one area of your life, or you make a commitment to yourself that this pattern has to change. It must change. It cannot continue because you can't even survive as a being if you allow it to continue. You cannot pay the cost any longer. This then creates chaos everywhere. And most people turn around and go back and say, oh, fuck that. I am not going to change this pattern because the cost is too high. But here's the thing. Once you see, you can't unsee. Once you taste, you can't untaste. Once you feel, you can't unfeel. When you know, you can't unknow. And it's going to happen whether you decide to go forward or not, because you have made a declaration to the universe, and the universe will keep you honest. I didn't tell people about the new rules. I didn't tell people about the new boundaries. I didn't tell people. And within 15 days, my life was in chaos. I could no longer participate in the lies other people tell themselves, or ignore that their emergencies or patterns are self-created and that I have no control over them, but it takes so much effort to support them. Suddenly, it becomes clear everywhere that just what you're doing spiritually and emotionally and physically for others is more than you're doing for yourself and your family. I have found myself carrying other people's visions instead of carrying my own. I was taught to walk in other people's shoes only to realize no one was walking in mine, including me. To coming to the understanding that if I don't set and fiercely protect my boundaries, no one is going to. Boy, and people, this has, oh my God, provided so much angst and anxiety and heartbreak for me. I can't even tell you. Like, oh, Monday and Tuesday of this week, I had to do the scary things that I've been putting off and putting off and putting off for the last 2 years, 6 months, eight, whatever amount of time, 7 years, 13 years. And I had to send the emails and make the phone calls and make the hard choices and enforce the boundaries and do the confrontations that had been scaring me for so long. And the only reason I'm doing it is because the alternative is not doing it. And that is costing me more than doing it. And I just can't afford to just sieve more energy out of myself, out of my family. Like, it's not even a choice. I mean, of course it's a choice, but it's not even like a legitimate, sustainable option to not do the confrontation, to not fire the company, to demand my own power back. And you notice things like if your job, if your self-proclaimed purpose is to help other people, you have helpless people in your life. And the only way to change that pattern is to demand that the pattern change and the new boundaries, and then people consider that a violation of the relationship, and there you are, stuck with an impasse. Some things are not agree to disagree. And right now, we're in a place in our country where it's not a disagree to disagree or agree to disagree. Agree to disagree is not an option right now in so many situations in our world. Because what that really is a lack of boundaries and lying about what the other side is saying or doing and what their intentions are. And we all want to believe that we don't live in a selfish world. At least I want to believe that I don't live in an opportunist, selfish world. That men don't mean to sexually harass me. Of course they mean it. That people's paradigms have not had a direct negative effect on my everyday life. Who cares if they mean it even? Who cares if they're asleep to it or they're unconscious of it or they're not willing to give up the paradigm or the pattern and they're just going to throw a tantrum? Who cares? Like, there's a certain point where you're just a grown-up. And even my children I hold to a higher standard. And blaming myself for other people's bad choices because I didn't foresee a loophole cannot be sustained. I have researched new paradigms of thought in order to make sense of where I am and where I want to go. And I have come across some resources, one of which is this, it's an app and it's called The Pattern. And it takes your birthday and your time of birth and it tells you, like, astrologically what patterns you might be running in your life. And it tells me that I am going through a shift that has only taken place twice in my life, when I was 15 and when I was 32. And here's where I was when I was 15. I was being beat up by a boyfriend who was 6 years older than me. He was an alcoholic, and I was taking responsibility for his alcoholism and believing that if I just did the right thing, if I just said the right words, if I just changed. Actually, I remember saying that, I'll change. And then you won't have to hit me anymore. Or call me used meat. Or say terrible, horrible things when you're not saying, I love you. I can't live without you. And when I was 15, I was just waking up to that and I was trying to find my way out of it. And that created chaos. It created chaos and it left me very much alone for a period of time because I had become isolated. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done, was to get out of that true love, that relationship. When I was 32, I had my son. I was in a dark, dark, dark place with postpartum depression and PTSD, having witnessed 9/11 when I was pregnant with my daughter 4 years earlier. I had gone to rehab. My life was unsustainable. I'd become dependent on Xanax so that I could, doctor ordered Xanax, mind you, so that I could continue to lie to myself. To lie to myself about more alcoholic issues in my family and my marriage. So that I could lie to myself about the intentions of the people around me who were telling me Bible Belt bullshit about my role as a wife and what I should be doing as a woman. And I remember I picked up A New Earth at the time. And it said, if you continue reading this book, you're going to lose people. Your paradigm will shift. People will not like it. They will consider your growth a personal violation of the relationship. And that exactly is what happened. And I could see it, and I wasn't in a position yet to change it. But it no longer became okay with me, and it caused me so much trauma and angst and anxiety and hurt and heartbreak and pain. At the time, I also found the secret and began experimenting with law of attraction. So at least I could improve my own depression. At least I could improve my own sanity. At least I could improve my own personal inner life so that I didn't wake up every morning and think, fuck, I'm awake. It was too painful for me to be awake. Law of attraction helped me find a way forward. But law of attraction is a double-edged sword, right? If you're going to declare something and you're going to try to attract something, well, you have to move in the direction of that. You can't turn around and move in the direction of something else. I also discovered this thing called human design, which is interesting. It essentially ties together all of the paradigms of thought throughout history. Or maybe I just told you about that. But essentially, it breaks down to something that really resonates with me, which is that my purpose here and what I'm really great at, what I really get huge amounts of satisfaction from, is to investigate and then universalize and share that information. Investigate and then universalize and share that information, which totally explains why I feel called in a way that is irrevocable to do this podcast at all. Because I got to tell you, folks, I don't enjoy public criticism. I don't enjoy being attacked on the internet. I don't enjoy conflict. I don't enjoy putting myself out there in such a vulnerable way. I don't enjoy taking risks where I'm called to do this, but I don't know how to monetize it, and I don't have any control over whether it succeeds or fails. If one person listens to this and it changes their perspective, I suppose I could call that a success. But that's not a purpose for me. The purpose for me is to obtain satisfaction in my own life, to be consistent with my own integrity. And there's a definition of integrity that I adhere to, and that is this. To maintain and hold yourself to values and not breach those. So essentially, it requires a few things. You have to know what your values are, and then you cannot violate them. If you violate your own values, if you violate your own personal rules, boundaries, best interests, you are out of integrity with your own self. Loyalty is one of my values, but being loyal to the wrong people has cost me. Loyalty to myself and my family is a really big shift for me. Like, it's hard to express just exactly how big of a shift it is for me. Because I have been loyal to people who have betrayed me, who have lied to me, who have used up my energy, who have had a different version or perception of what friendship means, what love means, what family means. And there's such a high cost to that for me now, after 46 years of running this pattern, that I cannot sustain it. I've had a lot of people say, you've changed. I've heard this so many times in my life, but in human design, one of the things that someone with my personal, I don't know, spiritual code or code for design is that people will project onto me what they want me to be. And if I hold to my own integrity of what I really am and who I really am, that is considered a violation of the relationship because it doesn't match their projection. A boundary is considered anger or betrayal. An expectation of reciprocity is considered unfair. Loyalty to myself instead of others is considered mean. Having a political stance. See, I mean, this is interesting to me because I majored in political science and creative writing. I've been a journalist for government beats. I ran the Girl Revolution, which took a definite stance on gender and politics and culture. And in the Obama years, I went to a more micro level and focused on not just pretending positivity, but goddamn it, it was a much freer and open and kind and generous time. So I got to relax into that. There was nothing I had to fight against in order to maintain my own integrity. But lately, as it's become more necessary for us to stand up and say, hey, this is not okay, and this is not an agree-to-disagree situation, and we're facing something that is completely unacceptable, and to stand up and say that, I've had people say I'm negative, I have changed, they don't know who I am anymore, I'm going to attract the wrong things. But folks, this has been in integrity with my own values. Since I was a small child, I have always been fighting for justice. I have always been interested in advocacy. Just because you have projected an idea of what you want me to be does not mean that I am in out of integrity with myself. Just because I'm drawing a boundary, which should have been there in the first place, it's not an attack on you. It's a preservation of me. And I'm sharing this with you for a purpose, for a point. There's a point to this. It's not just me complaining or saying, here's what, you know, people have done to me or whatever. It's because I know we're going through such a massive transition on the planet right now. I know that many of you are experiencing the same thing, and maybe you don't understand quite right why. And you don't understand what to do about it. And you feel at a loss because your life is in chaos because you've made some kind of declaration to the universe about changing your pattern. And so it looks like you're alone in the battle and you're not. That's what I want you to know. You're not alone in the battle because I'm right there with you, friends. And you're brave and courageous to even try to go forward. And as much as you might try to go backward, I don't think you're going to have much success. The cost is too great and the universe loves you too much to let you go back. Once you see, you can't unsee. Once you know, you can't unknow. Once you commit to this kind of thing, you can't uncommit. The only way out is through. The only way out is through. And once you get on the other side, I promise you this, and I know this through experience, once you get to the other side, the universe will right itself again. And it will adjust to your new boundaries, your new way of being. Now, that is not a promise that your relationships will adjust. Some people are just not going to adjust. And that's their call, but it's also their responsibility, not yours. You can't change them. You can establish new boundaries, and sometimes that means the end of the relationship. Sometimes that means the relationship is unsalvageable. And when I read those words in Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, no, it was A New Earth. That's what it was, I think. Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. When I read those words that said, if you continue reading, you're going to leave people behind. You're going to lose people. There are people who will not come with you. I knew that my husband was not going to come with me. And I knew that there were going to be people in my life who would be so angry and disappointed and frustrated with me. And I chose to read the rest of that book. And I have done the best I could do to maintain integrity. Even if that means experiencing chaos in my world temporarily, it will right itself. If you lose people, other people will come in. And those people will fit your new pattern, your new paradigm, your new boundaries. And it will feel so freaking good. And you'll be so glad that you made that hard choice. And it will free you to be in integrity with your own self. And it will provide satisfaction for you. It will also provide satisfaction for the new people in your life, for the new relationships, for the new business partnerships, for the new clients or collaborators. The only way out is through, and you're so freaking brave for going through this. That's why I'm sharing, so that you know that. And also to fulfill my own purpose, which is to investigate and see and make these correlations between seemingly untied experiences, unconnected experiences, and then share them with you so that you do whatever you're going to do with it, I guess, because I can't control what you're going to do with it. You could get angry. You could change. You could feel comforted. You could feel less alone. That's my hope for you, but it's not my intention. My intention is to fulfill my purpose for my own satisfaction. And that right there is a huge freaking change. My purpose is not to help people. It's to experience my own satisfaction and fulfill my own purpose. That right there is such a freaking enormous change that I can't even express to you what that has done and what I expect it to do in my life. And I wish that for you. So I'm going to leave it there, and I am going to energetically douse you with some hope essential oils and some fearlessness and some love and some shine. And in an hour or two, I'm going to go dance, ecstatic dance, and I'm going to feel energized. I'm going to touch God. It's going to be a prayer. And I'm going to be brave enough to check my email. I'm going to be brave enough to check my email, and I'm going to enforce boundaries and follow through and confront the issues my website is having. And I'm going to try to get bold enough to tell people that I am even doing a podcast so that I can be bold enough to experience whatever gifts or criticism come my way. This is not easy for me, people. It makes me feel extremely vulnerable to put myself out there like this. But I can't not do it and remain in integrity with myself. So I wish you all the hope and the fierceness and the boundaries and the loyalty to yourself and your own integrity. Stay tuned, because I found a really amazing invention and I want to share it with you. Namaste.
I have found the best beauty invention I have ever seen in my whole life. It is magnetic lashes with magnetic eyeliner from a company called Lash Liner. I would love for you to check them out. You can find that at tracysue.com/lashes. Here's why I love it. I have had a daily battle for 30 years. For 30 years, I have had a daily battle with mascara, and it's such a flawed product. The smears under your eyes, the flaking off so that you have flakes of mascara all over your cheeks, the inevitable mistakes that you have to remove by licking a Q-tip and scraping it off your eyes. Unbelievably, it takes the most time of anything I do beauty-wise. I've tried lash extensions. They're so expensive and so time consuming. You have to spend like $90 every 6 weeks to a month, and you have to lay there for an hour or two while these are installed. And I am convinced they really do tear out more lashes than they should. I have tried to glue lashes on my face with the coordination of a 2-year-old, losing lashes on the floor, down the sink. I have glued my eyelashes together without even getting the fake lashes on. I even tried the magnetic lashes where there's magnets on top and magnets on bottom. So there's 2 lashes. I cannot get those to work. I mean, they just fall right off. It looks ridiculous. But now, people, now I have the answer, and it is magnetic eyeliner with magnetic lashes. This literally takes 2 seconds. You just wipe some eyeliner on the top and pop that lash on. And it is really, it saves so much time and so much money, really, because they have a package for $55 where you can get eyeliner and the mascara. So it's a set. It's $55. I think it works out to $70 if you buy them separately. And if you're thinking that you're going to spend $90 every 6 weeks, but these lashes are reusable and they look so natural. One of my issues with fake lashes is that they just look ridiculous, like I'm a kid in costume. So these lashes look so natural that I've had friends just stare at my lashes and be like, I can't believe how natural they look. And then if you go to take a nap or you go to bed, you don't have smears all over your face, and it doesn't take you forever to get the stuff off. It just pops right off. You put it back in the magnetic container, which I really appreciate the magnetic container, and you just wipe the lash liner off, the magnetic liner off with some, I've been using micellar water. And I just cannot wait for you to try this. And I want to extend the opportunity for you to get that $55 deal by using my link. It's a great way to support the show as well so that I can keep doing this show. It is tracysue.com/lashes. Okay, that's Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-E, Sue, S-I-O-U-X.com/lashes. And please let me know what you think. It's so exciting. I'm going to do some videos and I'm going to post those on YouTube and Facebook. So stop by and watch those if you really want to see how amazing these are.